4DJW Mobile.
OS Mobile. Hey, Dave.
Beautiful day over here in Greer. What's it like in Easley?
Beautiful day. Can't complain about anything. I had to run over to the dump and got rid of a bunch of trash and get it back to the house now.
We've been having and all the sunshine and the hot days and the rainy days have produced a lot of green over here in Greer.
The same way over here. I went out and picked 5 gallons of green beans the other day. Enjoyed running them through the canner. Got them all put up. Tomatoes hadn't really started coming in yet, but I got some that are turning out there now. So it won't be long till we get one of them big old tomato sandwiches.
Forward to that. 5 gallons of green beans, that's a lot. That's not a little garden.
Little bitty garden. It's, I guess it's probably, I'm going to say 40 by 50 or something like that. It might be a little bit bigger than that, but not by much.
When it comes to weeding, I remember I had a weeder that was a steel wheel with the plow behind it that I used to weed a garden about the same size. By the time you finished weeding it, you were wore out.
I had a little push plow that I do some of it with, and then I got a, it's a little Honda tiller. It's like the Manus tillers, like a weed eater. But this one's 4-cycle, it's not 2-cycle. And it's about 12 inches wide, and it does a really, really good job of keeping the weeds down. Of course, it's been too wet to get that little thing out there. I need to get it out there, but I got to let the ground dry up a little bit more. Don't have many weeds in there, but got a few. Okra's coming in good. Lima beans are putting on. I got to pick them probably tomorrow. Probably pick the green beans again tomorrow and cut the okra again and hopefully get some tomatoes. The squash and all that stuff just about played out already. But the garden's doing real well. I can't complain a bit.
I'm glad to hear it. I'm pulling in Little Rebel, so I may be gone. I may not be gone because it looks like there's no cars in the parking lot. Give me a second here and figure out what's going on, and I'll be back to you. W4DJW.
I hope they're open so you can at least get your lunch and get that done. But if ain't no cars there, they might not be open.
Found behind it, and there's not, there's one car in the parking lot, and that's me. So I'm leaving. Looks like I'm going to go pick up something else for lunch today. But, that Manus light tiller, I've got one kind of like that that I used in the backyard before I cut all the trees down. Well, not all of them. I cut half of them down. And, not even half. so that I could get grass to grow. Over a period of 23 years, the trees that were there when we moved there weren't blocking the sun out, and the grass did really good. But over a period of 23 years, the trees got so big, all the grass in the backyard died, and I had to cut 25 of them out to get enough sunlight in there. And that's still not quite enough, but that's all I'm cutting.
For that, I hate cutting down trees. We had a whole bunch of pine trees. I don't like pines as much. I like the hardwoods. I don't like the pines. The pines seem to break at the worst moment, and I called the power company, and they sent a guy out, and he said, it's not a matter of if they're going to fall, it's a matter of when. And so they sent a company over there, they're subcontracted with a power company, and they cut all the trees down. I didn't have to cut them down, which was a good thing. And the best part about it is they, not only did they cut them down, they ground everything up, hauled everything off. I didn't have to move none of it.
Looked out, I might be getting very, very scratchy on you because you're getting very, very scratchy on me. It might just be where I am. But it ought to clear up in a minute or two. But, the hard part's not cutting down the trees. Like you said, the hard part is getting up the remnants of all the trees. I got a guy from Anderson to come up with an enormous grinder, and he ground up all of those trees, turned them all into big wood chips. I spread that out through all the remaining trees, and it looked good for a while, but now leaf litter has got all over it, and it looked like it did before. So that's kind of nice while it lasted.
I thought I'd like to have one of them big grinders at one time, but I said, no, that's too much work. If I got to get somebody to do that, I'll just call somebody. I got a couple of tree services that I use, and I had some storm damage during one of the storms and had some big limbs out of the hardwoods, and the top of one of them came out. It was an oak tree. This guy came by one day in a pickup truck, and he stopped and asked me if I needed some help getting that cleaned up. And I said, well, yeah. I said, what kind of price are you talking about? And he told me, and we talked on a few minutes. I said, well, I'll let you know. They rocked on there for about 2 weeks, and he pulled up in the driveway one morning and started getting his saws and stuff out. And I said, I didn't call you and tell you I could afford you. He said, well, you need to get this taken care of. And I said, do you barter? And he said, yeah. I said, well, I got a riding lawnmower back here that looks like it's brand new. I said, come on back here and look at it. He looked at it, and he said, yeah, I'll cut the trees down for that. So I gave him the lawnmower and got my trees cut for nothing, because the lawnmower was given to me.
Because what that guy charged me to grind up all 25 trees, you could have bought four brand new big John Deere lawnmowers, and those aren't cheap. But it was worth it, because he took care of it all in a day, maybe 2 days. He took care of it all, and if I'd have done it, it'd have been there for 2 months.
And that, well, the guys that came over and had I needed some other tree work done. I wanted them limbed up and shaped up a little bit, and they came over and what they did, I'm trying to think, I can't remember. I think it was like 17 trees or something like that. And he brought his bucket truck and his big old grinder and took care of everything, ground everything up. They got here about 10 o'clock, I guess. 12 o'clock, they stopped for lunch, and they hadn't done much. And I said, well, I guess you'll be back tomorrow. He said, no, we'll be through by the end of the day. After lunch, they got started. Buddy, I'm telling you what's the truth. They went through them trees. They took care of everything, ground everything up. I told him, I said, well, here's your money. And he said, well, if you need me again, call me. And I said, not to worry.
If it was a grinder like the one that guy bought from Anderson, that thing, he put the whole tree in there, starting at the bottom of the trunk. And as it was gobbling it up, you could feel it in the ground. It would shake the ground as the trunk got up to the front. And it would just collapse the limbs as it sucked the trunk through that thing and just filled up the back of the trunk that was attached to the grinder about 3 times. And they went out there and dumped that truck in the backyard every time. And then I took the wheelbarrow and spread it around the perimeter of the backyard. So, but it was fast. Like you said, once they got the trees cut down and moved, I cut a bunch of them. They cut half, I cut half. Once they got them moved up there to it, it didn't take it but maybe 2 minutes to grind up a whole tree. That's pretty quick.
They had the same type of grinder. This guy had a winch on his to where he could, so the boys on the ground didn't have to pick them big heavy logs up, you know, the trees up, and it would winch them up and get them so close to the grinder, and he would stop it because it had big old jaws in it to pull the things into the blades, and he'd get it so far, and then he'd take the chain off or the steel cable, take it off, and then the machine did the rest of it. It pulled the rest of the tree in. But it's amazing how those things work. Like I said, I wouldn't mind having one, but no more than I would use it. It would be kind of silly for me to have one when I can call these other boys that do it for a living, and that's the way they make their living. So I'm glad that they're out there. But Dave, I've arrived here at the house. I'm going to jump out and go in and see what Joy's got going. Hope you and Amy have a great day. Get you some lunch, and we'll talk at you later. Enjoy it there, young man. W4DJW, KI4DOS.
All right, Gary. Well, good talking to you. I always enjoy it. You guys stay safe. Enjoy the beautiful day. Tell Joy said hello. W4DJW Mobile.
KW and 0TR.
How you doing?
Pretty well describing it. Oh, I just went to Lowe's and I just went over to Home Depot and wanted to get some Liquid 7. They don't even have that now. They're running out of everything.
To Home Depot to get one of those Eco weed trimmers. Not the, well, edgers, not a trimmer, an edger. I already got a trimmer. And so I went online just to see how many they had in the store, and it was a big fat zero. So I put my name on the list to email me when they came in, and that was about 3 weeks ago. I haven't heard a word out of them. So I guess they're getting low on supplies. I guess manufacturing is slowing down a little bit due to COVID.
Well, I guess, Dave. It's crazy out there. Well, I was looking at the ammunition supplies the other day, just for the heck of it, and I'd been told by my friends that there just wasn't any, and that pretty well covers it.
Box store, Amy said she was reading about, that is going under because of it. Pottery Barn, that's what I was trying to think of the name of it. Pottery Barn's calling it quits because of COVID. I guess they didn't have a really good business plan anyway, but they've been around for years and years and years, but COVID did them in.
What of them in, Dave? Is that the same as old-time pottery?
I'm not sure. I know there was one over. It's my turn at the window. Give me a minute, and I'll be right back. I just got to place my order. W4DJW.
And 02.
1 of 3. I'm in line for the second one, where you pay. But, yeah, Pottery Barn, they were over at the mall, the old mall, not the new mall. Of course, the new mall is now the old mall. But place where you go in and buy furniture and stuff like that.
The one I was thinking of is that big one over on Old Time Pottery by Malden Road, is that what it is? Lawrence Road, that's what it is. Yeah, we're here by Chick-fil-A. And this intersection just stinks, let me tell you. Even though there's a light there, the entrance to Chick-fil-A there is hyper-dangerous as far as I'm concerned.
On the road from you, McDonald's, right up next to the building now, so sometimes that quashes my signal. But it's on the repeater side, so it may be bouncing off of the building and going up to the repeater, I don't know. But we're probably no more than 2 miles apart, if that, probably less than a mile apart.
Roger. Well, we're taking some tomatoes down to the kids to give to their neighbor. And Amy's got some of that stuff that's called Roundup for Yards. It's a substitute for it, but the same chemical. And she's got a license and everything. And so she bought a bottle of it for about $100. And it only takes like a half an ounce for a gallon or something. But we're going to go borrow some of that. And by the way, if you need an edger to borrow, just come on and get ours. You're welcome to it.
And it's a four cycle, but it's old. I got two blades for it. One of them is about wore out, but the head's starting to come loose on it. So I can get by. I did it one more time. I didn't think I'd get another use out of it, but I might be able to get one more time out of it, and I hope by then those eco edgers, because I went online, and I don't know, maybe a couple years ago, and was with a whole bunch of other people that were asking them to reconsider making an edger, and they finally made one. So now I feel obligated to buy one.
Well, ours is electric. I should have added that, but I got some good 15. I don't know if that one's a 100-foot drop cord, is it, Bernie? It's a long sucker, and it's when you fold it up, it's a heavier pour to carry it. Yeah, we're out here on Buncombe passing the Pete's Farm and Ice Cream place down here, south of Wade Hampton nowadays. Well, yeah, I haven't been doing much of anything, just going to the store if you have to, and doing that very seldom, and I know that's what you do. You go and buy a bunch of stuff, and then you don't have to go back. That stuff is gone crazy out there.
So, out once every other week or once every 3 weeks. But here lately, I've been on vacation, but the vacations haven't been working in the morning. We get loose from work about noon. It's hard to go on vacation now because everybody's working from home and they've got things that need to get done. You got to do approvals and stuff like that. You don't want to hold something up for a week till you get back. You want those things to keep on moving, all right? So log in the morning, get off as soon as you can. But we've been eating out a lot more since we've been off work. So I've made probably as many trips out this week as I made in the last 2 months.
This is OTR. Yeah, Dave, we've even been avoiding that. Now, what I like to do is go down to Publix and get some of their spicy chicken or their regular chicken, as long as you tell them to bread it. And we like that once in a while, and haven't been to KFC in a long time. Haven't been to the Rebel. I just assumed the Rebel was open in the drive-thru.
Well, we've been through there a couple of times in the last couple of weeks. They were closed today, though. I don't know why. Not a car in the lot. But I did go get a haircut yesterday. I was at the Nissan place because the condenser in my air conditioner on my car went out. The car's only got 10,000 miles on it, and the condenser went out. And when I was there, I was sitting there waiting for them to fix it. They fixed it. It's really good now. Real cold air now. But while I was there, I pulled up Great Clips because I haven't had a haircut since COVID hit. So it's February, I think. Somewhere around January or February was my last haircut. Man, I was looking like one shaggy dog. Hadn't been shaving either. I had a big old furry beard. And Amy said, "You've got wings, so you need to figure out how to get a haircut." So I went, and there was zero time wait at the Great Clips over by the Nissan place, whereas the one over by Bilo, you know, they've always got 15, 20, 30-minute, 45-minute waits. So since that thing had a big, fat zero on it, I went over there, and I was the only one in the store. Got my hair cut and left. I then went home and shaved that beard off. So went from a shaggy dog to a skinhead. I told her, cut it really short, make it last, and she did.
He probably looked like a caveman or something from back in my days in the 60s and 70s there. That could even be further back for me. Shoot. Yeah, I can't stand the beard. It drives me crazy. I got a mustache, but the beard, I just can't go with it. I've tried it, and Bernice don't care for it anyway, so that's fine. Time goes on. Yeah.
Hi, Dave.
Hey, Bernice.
Go ahead, Bernice.
ORJN, you guys with hair complaining about haircuts just crack me up, you know?
Well, I got one last night about 8:30. No problem at all. Just ask the War Department if I can get a haircut. And I either get a headache or a haircut. One of the two. Go ahead, Dave.
You need to do that, too. She said she was going to talk to the woman that does her hair over in Traveler's Rest, and she's going to teach her how to do it. And she's going to order some clippers. I asked her about 2 weeks ago, where's those clippers? She said she didn't order it. I need to figure out another way to get a haircut. But she was tired of the long hair, and I was tired of it, too. Well, the girl at the at Great Clip said, what does that hair do that they used to have back in the 80s, 90s? The one where your front of your hair was short and the back of your hair was long. That's what she said. She said, you could almost have one of those. I forget what they call that thing.
This is NGLTR. Go ahead, Frank. If you got a call sign.
KN4RJN. It's called a mullet, Dave.
That's it, John. That's exactly what it is. She said, you could almost have a mullet. And boy, that was insulting. I was glad I was able to get a haircut.
I remember the flat tops. I'm sorry, John. I missed your call at first. Just wanted to get it in my head. RJN there. Word is passing runway 4 down here at GSP. Well, you guys all prepared for the hurricane? Go ahead, John.
Well, based on all the brown spots in my yard, yeah, we could use a little rain up here.
It's down in the Gulf now, Tom.
Yeah, I doubt if it makes much difference to us. We're going to go get some. We had to order packing peanuts. Can you imagine that? You can't buy them at UPS. Nobody else had any. And we had to wait for several weeks, but they finally come in today so that we can send my nephew up in Boston some peaches. And then I wanted to send some to Shelly and her husband, my daughter up in Michigan. They just don't get peaches like we got, Dave. Go ahead.
Haven't been out there to the peach thing. Are there peaches? I mean, do they have people that pick them and all that kind of stuff?
Peach farm right there, about a block north of Wade Hampton.
What?
The fruit stand. And then the other fruit stand's just a few blocks to the south here on Buncombe. But no, I wouldn't even consider picking them. But they used to. I think they quit that.
There a long time, but they did have good peaches. We used to go by there every now and then too, especially when we were going to go up the Beach Mountain and take a basket full of peaches to the in-laws. Go ahead, John, W4DJW.
Well, fruit stand just outside Inman, near the entrance side 26 there that we used to go by and get those. But I still got frozen peaches in the freezer from last year. I cut them up and dice them and put them in a bag and use them on my cereal. Or sometimes I just take the bag and go sit on the back deck and eat them like candy. Just let them melt in your mouth.
Well, I could live on those things, John. That's the best thing down here. I've had a lot of people ask me, because we come from Kansas, what's the best thing about South Carolina? And I always tell them, and very truthfully, the people are the most wonderful thing. And the peaches are the next, and the mountains are the next. And then I like the airplanes down here, too, as Dave well knows. But they're building a fire station right there, Dave, where we used to go and park back in the executive airplane place there just beyond the terminal.
Peaches, and this will probably be my last one because I'm about to pull on my road and go under the garage door. But I remember growing up, my mom and dad used to pick up those baskets of peaches, and they'd cut them up and put them in a bowl, spread a little bit of sugar over them, and pour milk over it. And instead of having peaches on your cereal, they would have milk on their peaches. It was good. That was really delicious. I haven't done that in many, many years. But anyway, good talking to you, Tom. You too, John. Bernice, take care of Tom. Keep him straight. W4DJW, I'll be clear.
Tom, it's KN4RJN. John, I've been to Kansas, and I can tell you the best thing about South Carolina is it's not Kansas.
QSL, 162 and a half years. I think people get formulate their opinion due to the fact that they come through western Kansas, and all it is wheat fields and a house every 5 or 10 miles, if that. But we lived in the very southeast corner, and they called it the four state area, Kansas, Missouri, Arkansas, and Oklahoma. And we had hills and a lot of strip pit dumps. And that's where I did all my fishing at, mostly other than the rivers and some lakes. But it's a different world there. I worked at Learjet for a while in Wichita when I first got out of high school before I went in the service. And, riding across those flint hills and that, John, that's out in the boondocks. I can tell you some horror stories about riding through there at night on a motorcycle.
Yeah, I spent a summer there, dear old Fort Riley, and that was all the time I needed to spend in Kansas. Thank you very much.
Well, we was there 62 and a half years, and I was an industrial electrician and electronic technician in a machine shop for 32 years after I got out of service, and then they shut it down, and a company in Finland bought it, and I worked for a printing company for a year as a technician and down in Joplin, and then I turned around, and they kept asking me to go to work at this wheel plant in Pittsburgh that made 55,000 to 80,000 wheels a month for General Motors and the automobile manufacturers. And I worked on a German machine there, a helium leak detector, mainly. And really enjoyed it. It was awfully hot there. I worked on overhead cranes for a year. But it was hot. I mean hot. So I was disappointed when they shut it down. But they, during the automobile, you know, the big depression there, when they went down, they shut it down and sent it to Mexico. And so I think I went to work at the hospital after that for a year. And that was the end of it. I got retarded then, John. I retired.
Yeah, the summer I spent at Fort Riley seemed like 32 years, but yeah, I was never so glad to get out of a place. Of all the places I've been, that's way down at the bottom of my list.
Well, you could have been, what's that one, not Isle of Palms, out in the desert there in California that they send the Marines to. I've heard that's worse.
Palms, I think, isn't it?
Now, you're right, sir. I've heard that's not as bad as Paris Island, but it's bad. Well, I've never been to Fort Riley. It's up by Topeka, isn't it?
I'm trying to remember where it is. I just know it's in Kansas, and I don't want to go back. Fort Bliss was fairly hot, but it was fairly dry, too, so that wasn't too bad. And White Sands Missile Range, that was, as the Santana song goes, you know, like 7 inches from the noonday sun. It was pretty hot out there, too.
Was you Air Force or Army?
Been in Texas, New Mexico, Oklahoma, Virginia, some, I can't remember, Greece, Turkey, Germany, not necessarily in that order. And there's one or two places I've probably forgotten, but oh, Maine. I was in Maine for a couple of years. So, yeah, we bounced around a little.
TR. Well, was you on KC-135? Well, no, you was Army, so you was missile. My cousin was 82nd Airborne, and for a while he was in, I think, a Hawk missile battalion or whatever you call it. And then my other cousin was a JAG lawyer in Missouri. What was that one? Not Leavenworth. Oh, up by 44 there down in Missouri. Littlewood. But when you mentioned New Mexico, they sent me out there to work on the Navajo Indian Irrigation Project from our company. We made large water valves, and I had to go out there and rewire some water valves that they didn't like the color of the conduit. It was a government contract. And they said that they ordered black and we put gray. And black was sunlight resistant, which never did make a lot of sense to me, John. But when God created the world, he made Farmington, New Mexico, the armpit.
Disagree with that, rather. Maybe not the armpit, maybe a little lower, but anyway. I'd still have to, you know, vote Kansas on that one, but yeah, next, New Mexico's real close.
Yeah, I was just about scared to step off the road out there. When I got there, some guy went over to pick up a little small rattlesnake that bit him between the web of the fingers. And I guess he was allergic to the antivenin. And watching the traffic here. And I guess his heart stopped like three times on the way to the hospital. But he went over to pick it up with a stick and it bit him. He did all the picking up. But I seen one hanging from the door handle of one of those big crew cab Fords that they use in construction. And it went almost from its rattler over that door handle and almost back down to the ground. And it was a diamondback. And I decided right then and there, I like snakes, but I don't like venomous snakes, John. Cinderella TR.
Had a Hawk missile testing battery out in New Mexico, and we do different tests for places around the world. And some of the guys in Korea wired us and said, what happens if we have to turn these missiles around? They had them in sandbag semicircular bunkers. And they said, what happens if we have to turn these things around and fire in the other direction? And I thought, well, probably blow the sandbags all to pieces, but yeah, we'll do the test. So we set up the thing and shot a missile. Of course, it blew the sandbags all over everywhere in half acre. And so they sat out there for a while. And I said, okay, guys, we need to clean this mess up. So go on out there and pick up those busted up sandbags. Well, a rattlesnake mama decided that that pile of sand and bags was a perfect place to have a nest. And one guy picked up the first bag and uncovered a nest of rattlesnakes, scared the bejesus out of him. He came running back faster than the Flash, and we decided to just leave him there for a while.
Yeah, I think that was the best tip of the day you ever got. Yeah, I knew a guy that slept with rattlesnakes at the end of his bed. He wasn't a friend. I just knew of him there in Kansas. And he'd go down on them hunts down there in Oklahoma. And he had one out in the parking lot there of the city department one day. And I seen a big circle of guys there when I left work. And so I turned back around to see what was going on. And I'm telling you, those things had a Monday morning disposition. You couldn't get within 3 feet, 4 feet of that thing, but what it wasn't striking out. And I don't care anything about the venomous ones. We have some copperheads here, but you see them very seldom, and they're pretty lethargic. My grandson here, where we're going to stop in just a second, he stepped on a what they think was a water moccasin. It was at night. And, oh, man, you ought to have seen that poor little kid's foot. He was about 8 or 9 years old. And it's a bad situation, and the venom's very similar to the diamondbacks. Well, John, it's been real nice talking to you, and thanks for riding along. We have arrived at the kids' place here in southern Greer, south of 14 in Pelham. So I've got to get out and drop this off. We don't go in and get around the kids, because I got heart failure, and Renice got heart trouble, and so we just keep our distances, and that really stinks. I'd like to get with you again, John. Enjoyed the stories. I think it was TV4, RVN. Anyways, I lost it. I'm 72, John. 73, and catch you down the line. Holler anytime. This is Denzel TR.
That I'm 66, and I have trouble keeping it, but it's KN4RJN. Kilo Romeo 4, Kilo November 4, excuse me, Romeo Juliet November. I'll learn how to talk here in a little bit. Tom, you take care of yourself. Bernice, you have a good day. 73's to you. KN4RJN, I am clear.
Bye, John. KN4RJN, N0TR, clear.